A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are taking what feels like the ultimate shortcut through a really essential question of our era, AI ethics.
Yeah, and crucially, we're not talking hypotheticals here, are we?
Not at all. We're talking about the systems, yep. You know, the ones governing parts of your life right now.
Mm-hmm. And to help us understand this really urgent topic, we've dived deep into Mark Kuckelberg's foundational work, AI Ethics, a Societal Reflection.
So this deep dive, it really has one main mission for you, the listener.
Yeah, we want to sort of dismantle that idea that AI ethics is, I don't know, some abstract sci-fi problem way off in the future.
Exactly. It's happening now. It's a present-day human issue, a social issue, a political one. It's unfolding in our courts, our hospitals, our banks.
And the sheer speed of it all. I mean, the technology's integration has just completely outpaced our ability to regulate it or even, you know, conceptually grab all the ethical side effects.
Right. AI is already deeply embedded in really critical areas. It's making decisions about, like, credit scores, medical diagnoses, even who's considered a risk in the justice system.
And that's the real urgency, isn't it? If we wait, if we delay addressing these implications now, we're basically allowing these systems to hard code our existing inequalities.
And automate them at massive scale.
Precisely. So Kuckelberg's book, it's really a vital guide. It helps you understand why AI is forcing us right now to confront and, well, clarify our own societal values.
Okay, so let's introduce the guide for this journey. Mark Kuckelberg, he's a professor of philosophy of media and technology at the University of Vienna.
And he's already pretty well known, right? For works like Robot Ethics.
Definitely. But what makes his perspective here so valuable, I think, is where he comes from.
Uh-huh. His background isn't computer science. It's not law.
It's philosophy. Pure philosophy. His whole analysis is grounded in centuries of ethical theory. He's bringing Aristotle political philosophy right into the conversation about neural networks.
Which is so critical because it stops us looking for just, like, technical fixes.
Exactly. You can't solve systemic bias with just a clever algorithm patch, can you?
No, you treat ethical issues like software bugs. You miss the entire point.
Right. So Kuckelberg, he reframes ethics. It's not some bureaucratic hurdle, you know, and not a checklist you tick off after the innovation happens.
For him, it's a necessary dialogue. It's creative. It's ongoing. It has to be the starting point, like right at the heart of the AI design process itself.
A much more human-centered approach.
Yeah.
Socially aware.
That's the idea.
Okay, let's unpack the book's central argument then. It's actually quite concise, but really powerful.
It is. The ethical challenges of AI, he says, are fundamentally human challenges, social challenges, political challenges.
They absolutely are. And the concept he uses that I found most compelling was this AI as a mirror idea.
Oh, yeah. That's key. He argues AI doesn't just invent new prejudices out of nowhere.
Right. It acts like a high-tech mirror.
Yeah.
Reflecting and, crucially, amplifying the flaws we already have.
Exactly. The societal biases, the power structures, the, you know, imperfect values embedded in the historical data we feed it.
So, like, if a loan system starts unfairly denying credit to certain groups,
yeah,
it's not the machine being originally prejudiced.
No, it's the machine learning and then automating the historical human prejudice that was already sitting there in the training data.
And not just automating it, but scaling it up massively.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Mm-hmm. And often with this sort of veneer of objectivity, like, the computer said so.
Which is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that really shifts the conversation, doesn't it? The book moves beyond just asking, how do we make AI ethical?
Right. To something much deeper, how can we use this challenge, the challenge of AI, to become more ethical ourselves as humans and maybe build a more just society?
It sounds quite ambitious, but the book itself is surprisingly accessible.
It really is. It works as a primer for, you know, policymakers, developers, just regular citizens. It covers a lot of ground, privacy, bias, but also delves into, like, governance and even what he calls the good life.
A really holistic view. Yeah. Reminds us these systems touch pretty much every part of our lives.
They do.
Okay, let's jump into some specifics then. Starting with something really immediate for most people.
Yeah.
Privacy and surveillance.
Yeah, and Kuckelberg insists we need to think beyond just keeping secrets. That's mm-hmm. too simplistic for privacy.
Right. He sees privacy as more fundamental. Like
yeah.
a cornerstone of our autonomy, our dignity, even democracy itself.
Absolutely. When you lose control over your data, who sees it, who uses it, you effectively lose control over how your own future behavior is predicted and maybe even manipulated.
And this connects to that idea of surveillance capitalism, a term from Shoshana Zuboff. Can you break that down a bit? How's it different from just, you know, regular business?
Well, traditional commerce, it sells you a product, right? Like shoes. Surveillance capitalism, its product is you, or rather, predictions about you. It uses your personal data, clicks, location, searches, everything as the raw material. It builds predictive models of your behavior and then sells those predictions.
So it's a business model built purely on extracting our data to predict and maybe nudge our behavior, often without us even realizing it.
That's the core of it. Think about all the online tracking or facial recognition being used in public spaces. The fundamental issue Kokelberg flags is the huge power imbalance.
The individual versus these massive corporations or state actors controlling the prediction machines.
Exactly. You're completely outmatched. Which leads us right into the next big area, algorithmic bias and discrimination.
You touched on this, the mirror idea, but Kokelberg really hammers home that bias isn't just some technical glitch you can easily fix. Why is that?
Because fundamentally, the algorithms learn from the world as it is, not as we wish it were.
So the bias comes from the training data itself, reflecting all those existing historical biases.
Yeah.
Race, gender, class.
Precisely. If you train an AI on decades of loan applications that were shaped by systemic racism, the algorithm will learn that, say, being Black correlates with higher risk.
Even if that correlation is purely down to historical injustice, not actual risk.
Yes. It just sees the pattern in the data it's given. And he points to that really troubling case study, the Compass algorithm used in the U.S. justice system.
Right, the one predicting recidivism, the likelihood of reoffending.
Yeah, and studies found it was significantly more likely to falsely flag Black defendants as high risk compared to white defendants, even when their offense histories were similar.
That just shatters the myth of algorithmic objectivity, doesn't it? People assume if a computer decides, it must be fair.
But Kokelberg stresses there's no single mathematical formula for fairness that works in every situation or satisfies all our ethical intuitions. You simply cannot code justice perfectly.
Which, okay, that complexity leads us to maybe one of the biggest philosophical headaches with autonomous systems, the responsibility gap.
Ah, yes. This is crucial. When a complex system acting autonomously causes harm, think of a self-driving car in a fatal accident who is actually to blame. Who's responsible?
Because our traditional ideas of responsibility, they kind of break down, right?
Right.
We usually look for human intent, human agency.
Exactly. But with AI, a decision can emerge from this incredibly complex interaction of code, data, sensors, maybe multiple human designers over time.
So it's almost impossible to pinpoint one single person.
Yeah.
The programmer. The sensor maker, the owner.
Precisely. You're left with this dangerous void. Who is truly accountable? It makes it hard for victims to get justice, and it can even reduce the incentive for companies to ensure maximum safety, a real gap.
And that's why he brings up the famous trolley problem, not as a puzzle for the AI to solve.
No, not at all. More as a way to illustrate that ethical choices, really difficult ones, are being embedded into the system by the designers long before any accident happens. Design itself is a moral act.
Okay, so he covers privacy, bias, responsibility. Then he zooms out even further, doesn't he, to the really big picture stuff.
Yeah, the socioeconomic impacts, the future of work, and even deeper philosophical questions about what constitutes a good life in an age of AI.
The point about concentration of power seems particularly important. Developing cutting-edge AI takes immense resources, right? Computing power, massive data sets.
Which means control tends to concentrate. A few giant tech companies, maybe a few powerful states.
He even uses the term techno-feudalism. This sounds alarming.
It's a provocative term, yeah. Suggesting a potential future where a small elite controls the essential technological means of production and knowledge, and everyone else is sort of dependent on them.
But maybe the deepest question he asks is more personal, more existential.
You mean how relying on AI affects our own human capacities?
Yeah. Our moral reasoning, our judgment, are we letting our own skills atrophy? You know, creativity, empathy, if we just outsource every complex decision to an algorithm.
That really is the heart of his critique, I think. He draws on virtue ethics here, the philosophical tradition that focuses less on rules and consequences and more on character, on human flourishing.
So the goal isn't just avoiding bad outcomes, like preventing accidents.
No, the ethical high bar, he argues, is higher. It's about ensuring AI actually contributes to human flourishing, to autonomy, meaningful work, real relationships, not just mitigating risks.
Okay, let's maybe try and distill some of the core themes now. The big takeaways that connect this philosophy to our everyday lives.
Right. The first one has to be that societal mirror concept we discussed. It's fundamental.
So when you see a headline about AI bias, the first thought shouldn't just be, oh, bad tech.
Exactly. It should be a moment of reflection on us, on the human institutions, the societal structures that generated that biased data in the first place. To fix the algorithm, you first have to confront the underlying injustice.
Makes sense. The second key theme seems to be a direct pushback against the tech industry itself. Ethics isn't just a technical problem.
Yeah, he really challenges what you might call techno-solutionism, the idea that you can just code your way out of ethical dilemmas.
Because fairness, justice, accountability, these aren't engineering specs.
No, they are contested philosophical concepts, social concepts. That's why you need sociologists, ethicists, legal experts in the room too, not just engineers. A mathematical metric alone can't capture the human reality of fairness.
And the third theme, the one that elevates the discussion, is moving beyond just preventing harm, aiming for the good life.
Right. Standard risk management ethics often stalks at do no harm. Kuckelberg says, let's raise the bar. Let's ask, how can AI actively help us flourish? How can it support meaningful work, deeper connections?
It shifts ethics from being purely defensive to something more aspirational, creative even.
Definitely. And the final theme, which follows logically. If AI affects everyone, its governance can't be left to the developers alone.
It has to be democratic.
Absolutely. Leaving AI ethics just to the tech companies, he basically says that's like asking the fox to guard the hen house. It leads to ethics washing looking good without real substance.
So we need real, robust public debate, democratic oversight, independent regulation.
That's his argument, because the consequences touch every single member of society.
Okay, the book is packed with clear thinking. Maybe share a few of those core ideas, the lines that really stick.
Sure. The first one really nails that mirror concept. Artificial intelligence does not create new biases out of thin air. It acts as a high-tech mirror, reflecting and amplifying the biases that are already deeply embedded in our society.
Simple, clear, powerful. And what about the responsibility gap?
He sums that up well, too. When an autonomous system fails, we are often left with a responsibility gap. A situation where it is impossible to assign blame to any single human actor.
That captures the problem perfectly, and his stance on governance.
Very direct. Leaving AI ethics to tech companies is like asking the fox to guard the henhouse. Meaningful oversight requires robust democratic governance. He adds independent regulation is key for public trust, too.
Okay, so bringing this down to earth, how can someone listening apply this knowledge starting today? Let's think about the average citizen first.
Well, just being aware gives you tools for critical media consumption, right?
How so?
When you read about some new AI product, you can now ask better questions like, okay, what data was this trained on? Who actually funded it? Who stands to benefit?
And maybe more importantly, who might be harmed or left out? What human value might this tech diminish, even unintentionally?
Exactly. And armed with that kind of thinking, you can engage more effectively as a citizen.
Like advocating for stronger data protection laws. Or questioning how local government might be using facial recognition.
Precisely. Understanding the risks to autonomy and democracy lets you participate in those debates more meaningfully.
Okay, and what about for professionals? People actually working in tech or in policy?
For them, the call is really to implement ethics by design. That's a big mindset shift.
Moving beyond just, can we build this?
Yes, to asking, should we build this? And if we do, what kind of world are we helping create? It means embedding ethical reflection right through the development process, not just tacking it on at the end.
And realizing that technical fairness metrics aren't the whole story.
Not even close. It means bringing in those social scientists, ethicists, historians early on, getting diverse perspectives to try and spot potential negative societal impacts before the product launches.
So, wrapping up, what's the biggest takeaway for you from Kuckelberg's work?
For me, it's the strong reminder that we're not just passive spectators here. The technological future isn't predetermined. It's not inevitable.
It's the result of choices.
Exactly. The design choices, the policy decisions, even our demands as consumers. They all shape what comes next. So we have this collective democratic responsibility. We can't just let it happen to us.
Yeah, that resonates. I think my biggest insight reading this was realizing the hardest questions in AI aren't actually about the silicon or the code.
They're about us.
They're about us. AI forces us, under this intense technological pressure, to get really clear about what we value most as a society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what fairness really means to us, what justice looks like,
yeah.
what human dignity requires.
It holds up that mirror, and we have to decide what we want to see reflected back. And Kokelberg really urges us to move past just fear or hype.
And engage.
And engage in this ongoing democratic conversation about the kind of future we actually want to build with AI, focusing on how it can genuinely enhance human flourishing. That's the real challenge the mirror presents.
A challenge worth facing.
Definitely.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.